I didn't mention it in the prayer time, but I'll mention it now, and we'll mention it in the next service. One of our members, who, like all of us, is growing older, Ray Spigarelli, is in the hospital just now. He had fallen, and it turned out, even though he didn't want to go to the hospital, he needed to. We need to remember that. When we don't want to go to the doctor, it's important that we do when we need to. But he ended up with COVID and some pneumonia and some other issues, and so we keep Ray in our prayers, and I know his family is watching this morning, so we pray for you. The sermon this morning is entitled, The Importance of Connecting, and this morning I want to provide this message on the occasion of the annual meeting. The annual meeting, for those who are new to us, it takes place at noon today. And there will be annual booklets that will be presented at that meeting as it begins at noon. And if you don't come back and didn't get one, they'll be in the narthex next Sunday for a number of weeks. But it's a really good report. I would have handed them out this morning, but I was afraid you might read them instead of listening to the message. But you'll have them. You'll have them. And it's just information today that we provide that people leave with. They're not reports that are read at all. But I want to propose to you on this occasion of our annual meeting that Northwood seeks above all things, really most all things that we believe, to be a relational church. God calls us to model in our living the value that our Lord placed on people. And that's a really important message. It's important for every Christian church to do that. Some years ago, many of you who are new to us may not remember this, and I have to keep reminding myself there are always new people that need to hear the history and the story. But for those that don't know, before our current mission statement of come, grow, and go, the grow being about learning about the Bible, growing in our faith, and growing in relationship with each other, the mission statement previous was, we are small enough to know you and large enough to serve you. It's a mission statement about relationships and service, living out the Christian life in the community. The statement emphasizes the importance of again, reaching out to others and the value of relationships among us. It is a value that I hold dear among many of the other values that all of us would hold dear. And so the sermon today asked us to consider the importance of relationships by looking briefly at the fruits of the Spirit described in Galatians 5, one of my favorite passages. And the first fruit that's mentioned, when I read it in a moment, that you'll notice, the first fruit is love. And most scholars believe that that's key, because all of the other fruits of the Spirit that are mentioned grow out of love. There's an unknown writer, an unknown source, where this quote comes from. I want to provide you with next. I think it's a golden quote. It's about the fruits of the Spirit. It says, love is the key. And then this is really interesting. Joy is love singing. Peace is love resting or serenity. Patience is love enduring. Kindness is love's touch. I've never thought about it that way, but kindness is love's touch. Generosity is love's character, and faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is love's self-forgiveness, and self-control is love holding the reins. You see how key love is in that passage. And now I want to read it from Galatians chapter 5, and I want to read some verses that follow it, 22 to 26, about the fruits of the Spirit. And first, I'm going to read it from the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. And then I want to come back and read it in the Message Bible translation, because the Message Bible is a wonderful creative paraphrase of Scripture written by a Presbyterian pastor, Eugene Peterson. And now, if you don't have a copy of that and you want to read more about the Message Bible, you can actually go online to BibleGateway.com, and there you can put in any passage of Scripture, and there are other tools like this online, and you can just read the different translations as you click the different one you want to read from, and it'll pop right up. It's really a great tool, BibleGateway.com. But here it is in the New Revised Standard Version. Before verse 22, it talks about the ways we're called not to live. And there are many of those ways that Paul mentions. And so you may want to go back and read that. But verse 22, that's why it begins by contrast. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And then the NRSV Bible continues in verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become deceived, competing against one another, envying one another. And now I want to go back and read Galatians 5, this time just verses 22, 23 from the Message Bible. And you'll notice how unique it sounds after just reading those fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, reading those rotely, it kind of spells it out. This is God's way of living. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, love. Exuberance about life, joy. You see how that works. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. And then it ends the same way as the other. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Anyway, interesting paraphrase. Let's bow in a moment of silence before the message. In Christ's name, amen. Well, in case you didn't know it, or you haven't thought about it recently, I want to begin by saying to you, we live in a world that is not relational friendly. And it's not a family friendly environment either. There are many dynamics in our world that really work against families and stress all relationships. I had someone this past week, when I mentioned that to them, the idea about it, they said, oh yes, and they held up their cell phone. How interesting. But there's also other issues that work against our relationships. Did you know, for example, that the Tampa Bay region has one of the highest divorce rates in the nation? One of the top 10. St. Petersburg is on that list, and so is Tampa. So there are a lot of stresses and challenges that defeat many relationships. Our mission as a church places a high value on relationships, just like our Lord did. It's appropriate. And this means in practical ways that Northwood is to be a key place to nurture children, to grow in faith and grow in relationships. You heard how that mission is being lived out this morning in the wonderful Minute for Mission given by our acting children's director, Jennifer McManus. She's not been with us maybe less than 60 days, but is doing a terrific job, and will finalize her position with us very shortly, I can assure you. But she gave a wonderful Minute for Mission about the ways in which we nurture children. It has also been over the years and will continue to be in the future lived out in our mission to middle school, high school, college students, and students that don't go to college and work, and their families. This past Monday, your elected elders. We elect some elders today. We discussed for over an hour some ideas on moving forward in a search for a new director of youth and family ministry. And the Human Resources Committee is commissioned by the session to start that process, and they're working on a position description, trying to tweak it. They have about 13 names of people from CE and the youth team. And if you would like to be a part of that, talk to Curtis Kruger and Jim Ferguson. I heard a noise. But anyway, all to say, with both of these two positions and our mission statement, we place a high emphasis on children, youth, and family ministry. There it is again. Let me open up for you another church window to look through to talk about the high priority we place on all relationships. Just this past week, for example, Paul Means met on Monday in a grief workshop. It's a small group of people. It should be. It's an intimate group of people who are going through the grief process, dealing with loss, and loss comes in a lot of ways. But that's one thing we offer. We've offered it for years. Thursday night, Paul also met as part of his responsibilities for congregational care. He met with our trained Stephen ministers. These are people who are trained in listening and confidentiality. They are professionally trained for many, many hours, and we have several active Stephen ministers in our congregation. It's so important to us as a congregation that you will find on the cover of our bulletin, it says we are a Stephen Ministry Church. We care for people of all ages. Relationships are important. Let me continue. Paul and I talk sometimes daily each week about those in our congregation and those in our community who are in need of care and assistance in some way. And the ways can be very complex. We spoke on the phone for over a half hour yesterday just to share visits each one of us had made and to share information the other needed to know as I go out of town for a few days this week to visit with family and to go to the seminary at Columbia in Decatur to do some study. And he needed to know some things and he wanted me to know some things. I had a text message from Stephanie late afternoon. Stephanie Carson is in Pittsburgh. She's visiting with her dad, and she wanted me to know that one of our new members in the choir, Raleigh, who won't be introduced today, has a terrible cough and doesn't want to come and cough on us. And so we thank her for that, but we're concerned for her. I also had a call from other Saturday morning, two other people, to let me know about people that have been sick and have been in the hospital very briefly. Let me take this a step further to show you the value we place on relationships. Today we elect officers. We have an elected board of deacons. Some of them are elected today. They are asked to follow in their ministry as deacons the example of Jesus Christ. That's a tall order. They are asked to minister to those who are in need, to the sick, to the friendless, and to any who may be in distress, both within this community and beyond it. It's a tall order again. Our elected elders, some of which we will elect today, are overseers of all of our church life, and in the language of the Book of Order, it says that their manner of life should be a demonstration of the gospel. And because of that, we place a high value on relationships. And so you can see why Galatians 5, on a day like today, where we elect deacons and elders, how it's appropriate. And by the way, on the day that we install those deacons and elders in March, we always say, after explaining their role in the life of the church, that this in no way diminishes the importance of the commitment of every member to care for others and to be a part of the ministry of the church. I have shared this quote with you before. It was about 12 years ago, but it's appropriate for today. I have come back to this quote several times. It's by Dr. Edward Halwell. He is a Harvard Medical School professor. And he says and has written that two of the most powerful experiences in life are achieving and connecting. That really sums it up, achieving and connecting. He says that most of what grabs our attention, our energy, falls into these two categories. Connecting, he says, connecting has to do with our relational world. Things like falling in love, forming deep friendships, hearing words of affirmation, that's connecting with others. Achieving has to do with the world of accomplishments. winning a contest, building a career, realizing goals. And this is what he says about it. Dr. Howell points out that our society is increasingly obsessed with achieving. Would you believe that? Increasingly obsessed with achieving. And at the same time, he says, we are increasingly bankrupt when it comes to connecting with others. I want to tell you, I think that's the great challenge of the church today, to connect with others in our community, wherever the church is, to be relevant in many, many ways. And that takes a lot of effort and a lot of prayer and a lot of vision. Achieving is not a bad thing, but as Howell would point out, it's not a substitute for connecting with others. Connecting will cost us time, it will cost us energy, and we're going to have to connect with people who are broken, imperfect people. And by the way, that's the only kind of people that there are, broken and imperfect people. It will take time and energy living out the gifts of the Spirit, with the key being love. You know, most people in our world, they will do everything by intentionality. They will schedule time for their jobs, their accomplishments, their chores, even a trip to the dentist, grocery shopping. But when it comes to matters, what matters most, relationships, community building, loyal commitments, the ability to stick together, people often just let that slide by day after day, month after month, year after year. And if you do that long enough, then eventually you get used to living without what matters most. So here's the message this morning in a nutshell. You and I were created for relationships. We were created for community, for sticking together, to live out the teachings of Galatians 5. And if you miss out on that, you miss out on the way that God made you. I really believe that. I want to close with this story. It's one of my favorite stories. It's about a new member to a particular church that I knew of once named Bill. Bill called his pastor one day and he said, "Pastor, I'd like to get involved more in the church. I have a beautiful wife, I have two children, I'm a successful business executive, but I really want to give back and be involved in the life of the church. And tell me what you think I need to do." He referred Bill to the children's ministry director. And the director said to him, "Bill, we have a real need. We have a lead teacher for the 2 and 3-year-olds, but we really need a helper in that class, because they have 10 children. That's a lot of children for one teacher, and we really need a helper in that class. And if you, Bill, could just go to that class, even for a couple of months, it would be so helpful." Now, when Bill heard about this need, he was a little disappointed, because he thought with his business background that he might become maybe the treasurer of the church or on the executive board serving in some way. But he said, I'll help with this, and maybe in a couple of months you can find me something that is a little more important. That's what he thought about it. He said, "This is just pretty easy, you know." Well, the first morning that the lead teacher met Bill, Barbara was her name, she had him take attendance, and he was to give the children their name badges. And so, like the executive, he took a clipboard and he had all their names, and he lined up all the badges. And finally, a little 2.5-year-old boy came in and he said, "And son, what's your name?" And he said, "My name is Rory Winwee." He looked on the list and he said to the teacher, "Barbara," he said, "there's not a Rory Winwee on the list." And she said, "Yes, there is. It's right here. Robert Winfield Renfro." And she said, "That's a hard name to say if you're an adult, but when you're 2 years old, it's Rory Winwee." He continued to try to get the name of the other kids, and he soon realized that working with 2 and 3-year-olds is a lot more challenging than he realized. He quickly realized that the hardest thing to do, and you get this, is when the parents bring their child, the 2 or 3-year-old, to the Sunday school class, The hardest thing is to get them off the parent and into the room. The parent sometimes has to kind of run away. And he said what he found was he had to pry them off the children, pull them off, and then stick them to himself and go into the room. He said that seems to work. And he realized this was not as easy as he thought. And he fondly, over those 2 months, and then he stayed longer because he was enjoying it, he began to call these kids his Velcro kids. Soon Bill became a favorite in that class to those kids. He literally, when he would come, he would have them hanging on his arms, his legs. They would wrap themselves around him, and he felt so loved. Over the years, he continued to do that, and then Bill's life changed dramatically. His wife fell in love with someone else. They divorced. She moved to another state, his ex-wife did, and the kids, of course, went with her. He was devastated. He was at an emotional low, and he went to Barbara, the lead teacher of that 2 and 3-year-old class, and he said, "I don't know that I can continue to do this." He said, "I'm just emotionally spent." And she said, "Well, just try it for a few more Sundays and see how it goes." Well, the next Sunday came, the class was about to begin, and one little girl who had gotten to know Bill walked right over to him and held out her arms for him to pick her up. And then she put her arms around his neck and she said, "Mr. Bill, you are my favorite teacher. I love you. And Mr. Bill, I'm going to always stick to you like Velcro." And you know what? Bill Stubbs made it through that difficult time. He continued to help in that class because he knew by the grace of God, God had called him and allowed him to be a helper in that 2 and 3-year-old class. And he had developed some relationships in that Christian community that helped him in the worst of his times. Jesus said it this way, "Love God, love people." You get that right, and you mess up in any other way, you win. The community wins. God wins. Let's pray as we close the message. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you especially for the way in which we can learn so much from Galatians chapter 5, that your word can be a light unto our path. May it be so in all that we relate to in our neighborhoods and our families and at our work. Oh Lord, help us to be your church and to reach out to others lovingly and build relationships in the name of Christ. In his name, amen.